In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Shitsas. Iran's leader has stressed that regardless of any possible nuclear agreement with the E3+3, Tehran will not allow the U.S. to recapture its influence in the Iranian economy, politics, and culture. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remark on Monday while addressing the participants in the International General Assembly of Islamic Radios and Televisions Union held in Tehran. The leader said, Washington's intention is to use any nuclear agreement to find a way to regain its influence in Iran. But we have closed the path, and we will definitely keep it closed. Ayatollah Khamenei said, we will stand against such sinister intentions with all of our power. Iran's leader reiterated that whether the nuclear agreement is ratified by the Iranian parliament or not, Tehran would continue supporting the oppressed nations of Palestine, Yemen, and Bahrain, as well as the Iraqi and Syrian nations and governments, and the honorable fighters of Lebanon and Palestine. Ayatollah Khamenei elaborated that Iran fully supports resistance in the region, especially the Palestinian resistance and anyone who fights against the Zionist regime. Referring to the Western efforts to portray Iran as supporting only Shia resistance, Ayatollah Khamenei noted that Iran has supported the Sunni Muslims of Palestine and elsewhere, the same way it has supported the Shia resistance in Lebanon. The leader went on to describe the policies of Iran and the U.S. on regional development as completely opposite. Ayatollah Khamenei vowed that Tehran will continue standing firm against Washington's divisive plots for the region. The leader went on to say U.S. seeks to disintegrate regional states and create small and subordinate countries, but with God's help, this will not happen. Warning that disintegration of Iraq and Syria is the clear policy of the Americans, Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that the territorial integrity of the regional countries are very important to us. Iran's foreign minister says the Islamic Republic opposes any kind of foreign intervention in the internal affairs of regional countries. Addressing a joint press conference with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Moscow on Monday, Mohammad Javad Zarif said, Iran believes that all regional players should consolidate their efforts to address regional issues, including extremism. As far as regional issues are concerned, the Iranian minister added that Tehran and Moscow emphasize the settling of all regional issues through political approaches, adding, the people of the countries that are facing problems should decide their future. Zarif pointed out that Iran rejects any kind of foreign intervention as it violates the sovereignty of regional states. He emphasized that in his talks with Lavrov, the two sides agreed to hold a meeting of an intergovernmental commission this fall. He noted that Tehran and Moscow would also expand consular cooperation, which will benefit the two sides' people. The Iranian foreign minister also described Russia as Iran's number one partner in the nuclear industry. Also addressing reporters prior to the press conference, the Iranian and Russian foreign ministers urged the speedy implementation of plans to strengthen mutual relations in all fields. Zarif said Iran and Russia share a common stance and similar viewpoints on developments in sensitive areas. He emphasized that Iran and Russia would proceed with the expansion of ties on regional and global developments. For his part, the Russian foreign minister said, the two countries would follow up plans to boost relations. Lavrov expressed his country's willingness to cooperate with Iran to resolve the ongoing issues in the Middle East and North Africa.
Arab states hold a common position on regulating the Syrian crisis. We absolutely agree that the people of Syria have to determine their fate and their future. The crisis can only be solved politically. We and the Russians have a common position on that. All decisions about the transitional steps and reforms in Syria, any decisions on the talks between the government and the opposition, have to be accepted through the mutual agreement of the government and its opponents. That's it.
An Iranian deputy foreign minister has underscored that restrictions and supervisions on the country's nuclear energy program will be based on the additional protocol to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, or the NPT. Abbas Araghchi said on Monday that the entire Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that is the JCPOA, is within the framework of the additional protocol and nothing beyond that. Araghchi elaborated, however, that there are one or two exceptional cases and the JCPOA about the type of supervision, but it is totally different from what has been described by certain countries as Protocol Plus. The nuclear negotiator vowed that there will be no intrusive supervision of Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program beyond the additional protocol. The Iranian health minister has underlined Tehran's readiness to support Syria's pharmaceutical industry through making investments and providing vaccines. Hassan Ghazizadeh Hashemi made the remark at a joint news conference with his Syrian counterpart, Nazar Yazig, in Tehran on Monday. Hashemi voiced sorrow that foreign-backed militants have destroyed 20 pharmaceutical companies in Syria. However, he announced that through Iran-Syria mutual cooperation, 16 of these companies have so far been reconstructed and are back to work. A senior advisor to the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the Iraqi government has a popular basis and everyone must abide by the constitution. In a meeting with visiting Iraqi Vice President Nouri al-Maliki in Tehran on Monday, Ali Akbar Velayati added, Baghdad has even allowed the opposition more freedom than is stipulated in the constitution over the past years. He voiced Tehran's readiness for engaging in mediation efforts between various Iraqi factions, saying if such efforts could resolve the current disputes, the Islamic Republic will be there to help the Iraqis. For his part, al-Maliki said ISIL terrorist group has failed to conquer Iraq as more and more volunteer forces are joining the country's drive against the terrorists. He said the formation of the so-called Hashd-e-Shaabi groups at the height of Iraq's fight against the terrorists in 2014 helped the country become invincible in the face of the threats. Maliki said the popular volunteer forces are capable of purging Iraq from ISIL. He blamed the advances of ISIL in Iraq on Baathist and extremists, but said the group is not as powerful as it is made out to be. In the meantime, Iraq's parliament on Monday approved the report implicating senior officials over the fall of Mosul to the ISIL terrorist group last year. Speaker Salim Jabouri said the report prepared by Parliament's Security and Defense Committee would be sent to Iraq's prosecutor general. Jabouri added that no one was above the law and that those responsible will be punished. Last summer, ISIL terrorists attacked Iraq from eastern Syria, spreading their realm of terror over large swathes of territory and towns in the west and north of the country, including Mosul. Iraqi military divisions were overpowered by the ISIL terrorists during the initial assault, and in some instances fled the battle scene, abandoning their weapons and other equipment, which fell into the hands of the ISIL terrorists.
We told all political blocs that no one could be exempted. We don't have the right to delete any name that was within this report. No one could be excluded from this report with all its realities, evidences, queries, backgrounds and names. It will be sent to the judiciary and the prosecutor general. No name was omitted from this report. All names mentioned in the report will be sent to the judiciary, and the process of investigation and follow-up will be done, and each one who was behind the fall of Mosul will be punished.
Zionist regime forces have opened fire and fatally shot a Palestinian man in the northern part of the occupied West Bank as he allegedly sought to stab a Zionist border policeman at a checkpoint. Zionist regime police spokeswoman said the slain Palestinian purportedly approached the checkpoint at the Tapuah junction near Nablus and then tried to carry out a stabbing attack. She added that another Israeli border policeman saw the alleged attempt and shot the Palestinian man, killing him on the spot. The development came only 2 days after another Palestinian man, identified as 21-year-old Rafiq Taj, succumbed to his wounds sustained after allegedly stabbing a Zionist border policeman at the Beit Junction near Nablus. Now, this comes as Cairo has opened the Rafah border crossing with the Zionist regime blockaded Gaza Strip for 4 days. The gateway will provide services for Palestinians in both directions. Palestinian Interior Ministry also announced that thousands of people are waiting in the coastal enclave to be granted permission to cross the border to neighboring Egypt. Palestinian border official Khaled Ashar said Cairo does not allow all Palestinians to use the terminal, with only students, patients, and visa holders being authorized to cross the border until Thursday. Around 20,000 Palestinians are expected to use Rafah border crossing during the 4 days. Since the military coup that ousted Egypt's first democratically elected president, Mohamed Morsi, in 2013, Cairo has adopted restrictive measures against over 1.8 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Rafah border crossing is Gaza's only way to have access to the outside world, as the Tel Aviv regime has blockaded the highly populated area for over 8 years. Under the Zionist regime and Egyptian restrictive regulations, Palestinians are deprived of their basic right to import and export goods in the besieged area. Now, the United Nations humanitarian chief said on Monday that he is horrified by the attacks on civilians that are taking place in Syria, calling on all parties involved in the conflict to protect civilians and respect international humanitarian law. Speaking in Damascus at the end of a 3-day visit to Syria on Monday, Stephen O'Brien said, "Attacks on civilians are unlawful, unacceptable, and must stop." During his visit, O'Brien met senior officials and visited the central province of Homs.
Attacks on civilians are unlawful, unacceptable, and must stop. I appeal to every party engaged in violence and fighting to protect civilians and to respect international humanitarian law. It is unacceptable for those engaged in conflict to use access to water and other services as a weapon of war. The United Nations and our partners are providing assistance to millions of Syrians in need, including by crossing conflict lines and international borders, and we are ready to help many more. I also expressed my deep concern for the welfare of the 4.6 million people stuck in hard-to-reach and besieged areas. Freedom of movement of and for all people trying to flee the violence and conflict must be ensured by all parties.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RYN in English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest at the same time, same place. Goodbye.